You are listening to Transmission Arts Programming, WGXC, 90.7 FM. Grabbable, handleable, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia Counties. Handleable, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia Counties. Handleable, listener-supported.
It is 12:10 a.m., and you are listening to WGXC Way Farm Radio. We are so pleased to be here with you this evening. My name is Desiree Mwalimu-Banks, and I am joined by Grant Cutler. We are the Artists in Residence for Way Farm Radio's 2022 Artist in Residency Program. And
what's up?
Hello. Hey. Thank you to all of you night owls who are joining us for this session tonight. We are very excited to update you on our hexagonal prism visioning of what we are experiencing and researching here while at Wave Farm. And I'd like to begin by giving a shout out to a little bit of a roll call list of folks. So ascended ancestors, known and unknown, blood of my blood of the Alum Walimu families, unknown ascended ancestors that walk with me, the First Nations and Black Indigenous ancestors of these lands, the Mohican First Nations tribes who are here, who have made a way for us to be here and hold space on this land. And a shout out to my Hudson crew. Shout out to Rachel Drozdovich, who came by and shared her love and light with us today and is supporting us in what we're doing here. Shout out to all of the lineage of teachers and mentors that are part of my work here with the bees, both in a scientific capacity and in a sacred capacity. Shout out to my mom and dad, my brothers and my sisters, my beautiful sons, who I hope, please God, you're fucking sleeping. I really hope you're sleeping now. And my beloved husband, Mikkel Banks. We are sending you a lot of love from where we are. And of course, big shout out to the bees.
Hell yeah.
And I'm going to pass it on to you, Grant.
Thank you, Desiree. Lovely to be here. I'll keep my shout outs a little shorter. I'd like to thank Wave Farm for having us. It's been an honor and a privilege to be here in this beautiful spot. It's nice to be out of the city, let's be honest.
Oh my God, it's so good.
And I don't know, I want to thank my beautiful partner, Allegra, for all the support that she delivers this way. She helps me out all the time through everything.
You're making me look bad, Grant.
Are you kidding me? You had such nice things to say about everybody.
Yeah, I know, but my husband's going to be like, you saved me for last. But that's because you're the best. But yeah, go ahead.
And also the general community up here that is listening in, the folks in Catskill, all the weirdo audio nerds out there that are listening to this.
Shout out to the audio nerds.
And just happy to be here. And let's get into it. I think maybe we should talk about what's going on, and we want to play. I was calling it an audio stew, a psychedelic audio stew of different.
That's a great term.
Things that have inspired us this week. Mm-hmm. Some pieces of moments we've had out there in the field, working. In relationship with the bees and everything in between there too. So it's going to be a ride.
It's going to be pretty gnarly. It's going to be a mosaic. It's going to be a little messy, but it's going to be an organized chaos. And the bees are very good at organizing chaos and making incoherent energy coherent. So in the spirit of that energetic, I'd like to share a little bit about my relationship to the bees and to sound. When I was 5 years old, and many of you out there may relate to this, I was stung in my eye. Maybe not, you might not relate to the eyepiece, but you might relate to being stung. And I lost my fear of bees after that time. And I started to feel a sense of calm and peace around them, whereas my friends would run around trying to flee them. I always just would, plead with them to just kind of stay still and without even understanding the scientific mechanisms for why I knew this, that the bees could sense our field, our biofields, and it would be best to just breathe slowly and deeply and ground, and eventually they'd just fly away. And that led me to many, many other experiences. One of them was an experience working with a Yogini mother and doula, Sakna Heather Mabin, who actually trained me in prenatal yoga. And in an effort to support her Svadhyaya, I channeled a goddess for every chakra. And when I got to the heart, which means anahata in Sanskrit, it means unstruck, actually. That's the term that we use for the heart chakra. I was stuck. And so I went into a deep meditation. And in that meditation, I tasted honey on my lips. And I wrote about this, actually. I wrote about this, and it was later published in Harmony in the Chakras, which was an anthology published a couple of years ago by Olivia Whiteman. And I talked about this experience of tasting honey on my lips and researching that, not having any understanding of like why I was doing that. I heard this phrase, the ancient bee mothers. And it's interesting, this whole experience is pivoting around hearing things that perhaps we can't prove that we hear, seeing things that we can't prove that we can see, making visible the invisible. And so that's kind of what has led me here. And of course, I did all of this research and I learned that, in fact, the ancient bee mothers and priestesses that honored and revered and celebrated the bee in a sacred context were actually real. In ancient Egypt, in ancient Minoan, Mycenaean societies, and Hindu societies in ancient India. And the priestesses are actually known by many names across several different cultures, and I became very interested in that. So there's more, and we have more days to broadcast, so that's kind of what has led me to the bees. And so my life has sort of taken this turn where much of what I do is in service to the bees, but in a way that allows me to create a temple for these inquiries, create a temple for understanding how to write our relationships to natural rhythms, natural patterns, to nature, to bees, through sound. And so that's my relationship to bees, not necessarily my relationship to sound, but that's my relationship to bees and sound. But what about you, Grant? Would you like to share a little bit about how you came to the bees?
Well, sure. My path is much shorter in that I was essentially introduced to it through you. I shouldn't say that. I mean, of course, I had maybe a more typical relationship to bees up until recently when you proposed this project. Desiree and I go to school at the same program, Goddard College
in Vermont.
In Vermont. We're both in the interdisciplinary arts program.
Absolutely.
And you proposed this project. I'll give the general overview is that we are not just studying bees, but specifically the relationship that electromagnetic frequencies and radiation has on the bee habitats and
the beehive
and
ourselves.
The environment in general. Mm-hmm. So we're not scientists, but we are using a lot of scientific methodologies to kind of take a look at the bees, as well as using a lot of artistic audio methods as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny to say take a look. We're taking a listen to the bees. I was just interested in the project because it sounded fascinating. I've always wanted to learn more about this. Desiree is an expert and passionate and great to learn from. And I mostly consider myself like a sound artist or a composer. So I'm kind of coming at it from that angle and hopefully kind of, bringing some life to the audio side of things here.
Well, Grant, you were perfect because the article that is published in Harmonies in the Chakra by Olivia Whiteman is about the Anahata Chakra, which means unstruck in Sanskrit. And it is about sound, actually. Vibroacoustics are part, are a huge part of how bees function in the hive and how they communicate with each other. Sound is the primary vehicle that allows them to sustain themselves in the hive. And so knowing all of the wonderful things that you've done, you've had some amazing collaborations. I love the work that you did with Stephanie Batten-Bland. Mm. I'm familiar with her work through my husband, who's also worked with Stephanie Batten-Bland through the Burnt Sugar Orchestra. And I was blown away. I was blown away by that and the other things that you have done and shared with us at Goddard College. So this is a kind of a dream come true for me. So sound is a part and parcel of what it is to be a bee and what it is to understand the world of bees. So the tools that we're using are apropos.
Well, and good segue. Speaking of sound, you want to play some more music? You want to play? What do you got in store for us?
We are going to listen to a track by Dorothy Ashby called "Myself When Young," and I'd just like to read a quote by Dorothy Ashby in the spirit of this idea of that we can make visible that which is invisible. And that which is invisible exists, whether we believe it or not. Mm-hmm. I just tried to transfer the things that I had heard and the things that I wanted to do as a jazz player to the harp. Nobody had ever told me these things shouldn't be done or were not usually done on the harp because I didn't hear it any other way. The only thing I was interested in doing was playing jazz on the harp. It's a quote by Dorothy Ashby. Awesome. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and play "Myself When Young" from the Rubaiyat of Dorothy Ashby.
Myself when young did eagerly frequent doctor and saint and heard great argument about all things. But evermore came out by the same door wherein I went. Sages who discussed two worlds so wisely are thrust like foolish prophets forth, their words to scorn us gathered and their mouths stopped with dust. Thank you. words to scorn are scattered and their mouths stopped with dust, and their mouths stopped with
to get into a little bit of this project we're working on. What you're hearing here is a field recording from Blue Moon Farms.
That's right.
Which is close by. Lexington?
That's right.
Lexington, New York.
Yep.
I'm learning the geography around here.
So am I.
And our new friend John was kind enough to have us over there and get to work with his bees and his apiary. Can you define apiary?
So when we are talking about an apiary, essentially we're talking about a hive, one or more hives.
Okay.
You know,
cool.
some bee guardians, I prefer to call them bee guardians. I'm learning to revolutionize my understanding about bees and beehives based on a more bee-centric way of looking at bees. I am learning so much from my mentor, Laura B. Ferguson, who is the director of the College of the Molossi, formerly in Ashland, now in Washington. An apiary can have one, or at least one. It's at least one hive.
Okay.
It's usually going to be two to three, sometimes usually more, a lot more, depending on especially what kind of beekeeper you are.
So we've got kind of an almost experimental documentary thing I want to try playing here, which is going to be a conversation between Desiree and I as we were in the field taking some EMF radiation measurements at Blue Moon Farm. So you'll hear us just kind of talking through the process, and you're also going to hear our measurement tools and all the
That's right.
their interpretation of the radiation in the area. So enjoy that, and then we'll talk a little bit about our experience that we had there.
Sounds great.
Okay. Pocket or whatever, and let's go check out the bees.
Does it matter if how it's sitting in the pocket?
No, I think that should be fine. I think that it's actually the cable keeping it. Okay. I think that's going to be fine. They said just if you're going to use a recorder to try to make sure the cable's at least 3 feet.
Okay.
So I think that should be fine. With this one, they did mention that you should hold it at least a foot from you, right?
With me, yes, and also you have to move it around a bit.
Yeah, because I was thinking that my body being in a magnetic field must change the magnetic field too, you know?
Of course, we impress the environment for sure.
Yeah.
And that also, you know, that doesn't count like whatever metals are in your body, you know?
Oh, interesting. Because I remember when we were watching some of these videos...
Yeah.
That some of the people are using these devices like on a stick.
Exactly.
To keep them further away from there.
Yeah. I mean, some of these things, you know, it's like if you have had any dental work done with metals.
Oh, interesting.
Or,
if you get
for instance,
fillings.
I have an IUD and there's copper in my body.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing.
Okay.
Okay. We are walking towards the hive. I'm using the Gigahertz Solutions ME3830BME analyzer.
And I'm using the EM Fields Acoustimeter. I will be measuring the peak average of the radio frequencies, both the electrical and the magnetic.
So it's very low on my end here. 60.
I can't see yet.
50.
I'm actually going to stop right here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's hard to use in the sun, isn't it?
Right now it's green. Okay, we have from about 20 feet away, 15 feet away.
Yeah.
Peak average of 4.61 volts per meter.
0.61. Mine's about the same here, closer to the hive. Here we're just 10 feet away, and I'm in this high 60s.
Okay. As we approach the hive, there are three of them, and both of them, all three of them have queens. And from what I understand, these bees have been here for 1 month, and they're quite aggressive and agitated.
And I'm a little bit lower here, still low 60s. I'm going to just go very slowly, a little bit closer.
It dropped.
Try not to get too much in their business. Mid-60s here. NT.
I'm at point a little, again, 4.61. The average has stayed the same. Thank you, Mama.
Thank you, bees.
Thank you. Thank you.
Seems like you're
okay.
Not in an overbearing electrical position here, though, so that's
good. I'm glad
that
you're safe. I want you to be safe. I want you to be safe. Okay. Thank you.
Now that I'm going back towards the house, it's going up a little bit. You know what? I know that maybe if you want to walk around and kind of do what I did with that.
Okay, now we're back in the studio.
And we're back.
I'll turn this down.
You know, my experience, I've had a couple of different, I've been blessed with the opportunity to apprehend and be in conversation with other beehives in New York. And this by far was the most aggressive, agitated hive that I've ever come across. I intuitively had a sense that I needed to protect myself. We needed to protect ourselves. But, you know, my first question actually to John, again, amazing, super generous, gracious guy who allowed us to be with his bees for almost 3 hours, like, well, might have been close to like 2 hours. Yeah. But he, you know, my first question was, how was the queen? What are the methods for breeding your queens? How do you breed your queens? Because a lot of times that has an impact on the health of the hive. And he wasn't sure about that. He said he'd get back to me about it. But that two out of those three hives were actually new hives. So those are bees that he's not familiar with. One of them, yes. And in fact, the one that he was talking about was the most sort of grounded, peaceful. I don't like using the word docile to describe bees, but just grounded hive that I experienced. And the other two, not quite as much. So, you know, my first instinct from a shamanic perspective and from the perspective of just the knowledge that I've been doing my best to integrate and absorb into my spirit around the sacredness of our energetic electromagnetic field to the electromagnetic fields of bees is to be in resonance with them, is to find a way to vibrate at the same rate. And so for me, what I was doing at that time, I was humming actually psychically and also out loud. I was singing, mm-hmm. I was invoking, I was praying, and thanking them. And one of those, and the humming, I was humming there are three sacred hums that I've learned in my training, and I just use the two, which are the bee and the hum. And I found that allowed me to sort of calibrate or recalibrate myself in relationship to the activity of the bees. And I know that that was not the easiest space to step into for anyone. But you did, Grant, and you did it very courageously. So maybe you can share with us a little bit about what your experience was like.
For sure. You're probably getting at that I was stung on the way in.
It's a blessing. It's a blessing.
Yeah. And I guess I wasn't really prepared for that. And it wasn't, oddly, we've been dealing with the aftermath of this thing, and I got stung on the face, and my face has been swollen for a couple of days. But right away, it was just kind of like a painful little, you know, snap or something like that. And it's like, oh, damn. But John helped me get the bees off of me and things like that. And this is before we put on our helmets or anything like that, of course. So,
well, I put mine on. You didn't put yours on.
You had the good idea of, mm-hmm. of doing that right away. Mm-hmm. But so that was challenging. But what do I want to say about that, I guess? Well, maybe it was, I was maybe entering into the space with a different kind of energy. You know, I was going in there to get something, to take something, to figure something out. I was being kind of analytical, and I wasn't really feeling my way into the space. I was kind of just going in there. So I think that was almost a... Let me talk about the positives of it, is that was like a good wake-up call. That's like, oh, I should be a little more intentional when I'm walking into somebody else's space. And so I learned that lesson. So when we go do more bee visits, I will have that intention in mind that I should maybe take a few deep breaths.
Yeah, that's what I invited us to do. Yeah. Actually, prior to the getting into that their field of resonance, right? One of the things that I think actually prior to coming up there, one of the things that I wanted to, I think it's helpful for all of us. Regardless of whether you get to interact with a hive or not, to really be thinking about the natural world in terms of home and sacred space and sanctuary. Would you ever just barge into someone's home with a bunch of equipment and say, I'm here to record the sounds of your world? No, you know, we would ask permission. We would say thank you. There would be some kind of rite or ritual that would acknowledge this privilege that we were being given, and we would take that seriously, and we would honor it with respect. And not that it wasn't taken seriously, but just that a lot of times, for instance, the Mayan people of the Yucatan Peninsula, do not refer even to bee as a bee or an insect. They refer to bees, the Melipona bees, as royal lady sister. Royal lady sister. And so everything is seen sort of in this sort of in the symbiotic relationship. There's a symbiotic exchange of energy that is taking place. It's not about a hierarchy. It's not about holding power over something or over someone or manipulating someone or something to get what you need. It is about an equal exchange of power or energy, actually, based on the recognition that we are all, at an atomic level, the exact same. We are the same. And our atoms are just controlled and organized differently. And so, like, you know, I knowing also that, you know, Grant is, you're quite magical being. You're quite a magical being, and your ability. I think you're pretty wizardry. You're wizardy.
Sorcerer?
Sorcery on the way-ish.
On the way to sorcery. aspiring sorcerer.
You have all of that. You know, you have that drone magic in you. And you know what? We are very grateful that we have the opportunity to broadcast also on Friday and Saturday. In the meantime, we have tunes.
Let's play some music.
So we're going to play some music. I'm going to play a tune by Omari Jazz. Omari Jazz is the son of Sharif Simmons, who is a Def Jam poet. And he's a writer and author who recently moved back. He came back to us in New York City from California by way of Alabama. And this is the brainchild of his son. And the album is called Dream Child 2020. And I'm going to go ahead and play Dream Child for you. Enjoy.
Thank you.
And we're back. That was Dream Child by Omari Jazz. Moving into Your Worth. We didn't hear the entire track, but I'm going to go ahead and transition us to a famous film that many folks in you know, older generations might remember. And that is a clip that it's a mystery clip right now. And I'm going to reveal to you what the mystery clip is after you hear it.
The visual organs of insects consist of compound eyes. The entire image an insect sees, consequently, is a mosaic made up of as many units as there are facets to the cornea. Multiple vision occurs throughout the entire insect world.
I know you government heroes don't expect us local yokels to be able to do anything by ourselves, but...
Captain Peters.
Mrs. Klein?
Yes. Come in. Come in.
Well, that was Invasion of the Bee Girls, 1973 thriller suspense film directed by Dennis Sanders, written by Nicholas Meyer, starring William Smith, Victoria Vetri, Anitra Ford. And it's one of those films that plays into the stereotypical notions of what the bee is, what the bee does, and women's relationship to bees, which is interesting because as women, we do have a very sacred and historical relationship to bees that is thousands and thousands and thousands of years old. And we will use this as an opportunity to share that with you next time. And in the meantime, Grant and I would love to share.
You want some music?
I was thinking maybe you might want to play a little bit of those pond sounds. And if not, we would love to leave you with more of our inspiration, our musical inspiration from the bees.
And from just being in this environment, so...
That's right.
I'm sure that you Wave Farm fans know of the pond here, which is famous because there's the pond station. But this is just a field recording that I made overnight a couple of nights ago. So you're hearing all those lovely frogs in the pond here, and the dawn chorus of birds is coming out right now.
Electromagnetic energy. Know this. Electromagnetic energy exists in abundance in our universe. It is part of all structures, living and dead, including the atmosphere. We create it. in the atoms of our living cells. And this energy is magnified as it interacts with the energy of the atmosphere. And this is how humans and bees impress upon each other our divine blueprints. The biofield is our human aura. Electromagnetic energy has a source that lives in atoms. Neurological energy, neurological systems in our bodies exists through neurons. That's the source. We are at a place where both humans and bees are being invited to consider our relationship to each other. Neurologically, we are advised to do things that supplement our bodies through exercise and nutritional foods and medicinal supplements. However, I would love to quote Dr. Valerie Solheim, upon which a lot of this work is being driven. And she says, life prolonged by artificial stimulation, medications, prepared foods is not life rejuvenated, just life prolonged. And so what we're interested in, and what we'll get into next time, is talking about how we rejuvenate and revitalize the hive and ourselves. We are also an extension of those hives. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Thanks, y'all.
Good night.